The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Taking Stock. It is 12 o'clock. It is the third day of 2024. What day is it, though? Wednesday? Well, I have no idea. I think it's a Wednesday, isn't it? Pretty much. Welcome along. Don't forget, if you enjoy the content of the show, then hit that thumbs up button and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, because that helps us know you're doing the right things. So the question I want to ask today, are you a bull or bear? And there's a story out today, and I'll come to that in a bit. But I think it's very telling, because we keep talking about the economy versus the market. You know, what's the difference? Is there a difference? Do they overlap? Are they completely separate? But what are you? Just drop it in the comments there. Bull or bear? If you have a reason, let me know. Bull or bear? Happy Wednesday, Super Mono. Wins the prize for the first comment of the day. On the third day, the second trading day of the year. Let's have a look at the markets quickly. Let's see what's happening. Now, we did see a bit of a sell-off yesterday in the American markets. I think the American markets are well overpriced. Well overpriced. They're crazy. They're not far from all-time highs. I know there's no pricing in, interest rates coming down, but the reason that's happening is because inflation is coming down, of course, and that's off the back pretty much of a weaker economy. So I think it's a bit nuts that the markets in America have overdone it a bit, you know. But this is what it's looking like across the UK markets. FTSE 100 down 0.9%. Same with the FTSE 250, also down 350. AIM All Share, again, is the least worst faring sort of indices. Biggest rise, GSK, I think we upgraded, didn't they? Tesco's, of course, good numbers on Tesco's over Christmas. There's some data on that later I'll come out with. But we all know everyone buys about four times as much food as they can eat over Christmas. So, you know, all the supermarkets done very well. What are the fallers on the FTSE 100 here? Let's have a look. Anglo-American down for a lot of resource companies. Glencore, Antofagasta. Let's have a look at the commodities. By the way, this is the AIM All Share here. As you can see, it's a nice rally, but it's come off last few days. In fact, if we go to the S&P, let me just find... First of all, let's look at the commodities. Commodities are largely down. In fact, look at oil. Now, oil is a very good barometer of the global economy, as is copper. But look at that. We are nearing these lows pretty much here at 72, 73 bucks. It's coming down. It's a rally. This is below where they were, you know, before Ukraine invasion. Why didn't he get out of Ukraine? Huh? Drives me insane, that man. But where's copper here? Let's look at copper. Again, copper's sort of rolling over. This is saying a lot. When you see commodities start weakening, it's pricing in, you know, a weaker economy. So let me know, are you a bull or a bear? Let me know why. This is my thoughts on it. I think, and I've said this a couple of times, I did say we'll have a rally sort of end of year, which we sort of did. You know, some of the industries did really well. But there's going to be economic gloom. Now, don't confuse that with the markets, but I think there's a gap here, a shortfall. When we see economic gloom, and because more companies are coming out with profit warnings, I believe there's going to be struggles in the new year. And many companies having to sort of, you know, still pay higher wage bills, all that stuff, and lack of demand as well. And then you'll have, I mean, we all know the central banks, they lag on every indicator. They're always slow. They're slow to rise rates. They'll be slow to bring them down as well. So when the economy starts, I think, you know, getting into a bit of trouble, they'll be slow to ease rates. But if they start suggesting they will be easing rates, now the Bank of England are sort of less dovish than the Fed. The Fed are already talking about it. But that's why they're rallying. But I think the markets then will pick back up. Because it's all about that. And they'll see markets try and price in what's coming ahead. So I think maybe quarter one, maybe hard work. But then Q2, three and four, I think it'll be a blowout year. So what's your thoughts? Bull or bear? Let me know. Join in the comments here. Laconic, it's not Wednesday. It's C4X day. Laconic, well done, by the way. I don't want to keep, you know, plugging my own stuff, but... I don't know if you saw my video, but many years ago, I mean, the reason I started investing was because my A-level economics teacher did a fancy stocks and shares competition. And it was done on old Financial Times, but like pen and paper, no internet. And so that's how I got into investing. So I really want to encourage other people to get into investing. You know, I have this wild ambition that will help people get invested, more people get invested. Do you know, in America, these are stats. In America, 50% of people hold shares. with indexes, ETFs. In the UK, 20%. That's all. It's not taught in schools. I was taught all kinds of nonsense in schools I've never, ever learned about or used since. But I have used investing, and it's helped me a heck of a lot. It should be taught in schools. Full stop. So I set up a stocks and shares fantasy competition. And Laconic, I say that because Laconic did very well there. I think he bought C4XD yesterday. And you are number one on the leaderboard. In fact, here it is. Let me just show you. There we are. Number one. You get £100,000. So listen, if you if you do, by the way, if you do know anyone, if you know of any economics teachers, because that's what I want to pass it on to. Pass it on to next generation people. It's a fun way, gamifying, investing. And that's how I got initially involved. That's how I got the bug. And it starts that, small steps. So if you know anyone who'd be interested in that, or it'll help yourself, test out strategies in real time there. Go there. But well done, Laconic, for being number one there on the thing. We'll cover the C4XD news in a bit. Anne Conboy. Bull, while markets are rising, otherwise turn quickly bearish. Yeah, true. My portfolio wise, personally, I'm holding a bit of cash because I believe we will see further opportunities before the big market rally. And I do think there'll be a big market rally in 2024. I just don't think it'll be in Q1, or maybe it'll be towards the end of Q1. Markets tend to go in sort of months to 3 month cycles, so I think we'll have a little rollover. A little bit of consolidation. Some rubbish stocks will fall out of bed. You'll have some profit warnings. Other companies will be insulated. But I think then we'll go into a really good year overall. I think the first couple of months may be a little bit tricky and sticky. Sticky and tricky. Simon, I would never guess. Bear, I'm afraid of the bear as well. Inverted yield curve. Rationale, yeah, the inverted yield curve. Let's have a look at this. Let's just get it up here. It's still massively inverted. Where the bonds? Let's look at the inverted yield curve here. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's predicted. I think the last 10 recessions, pretty much. The inverted. Now that's on a daily chart. If I put on a weekly, it'll make more sense. If you've not seen this before, if you have, if I bored you with it before, I do apologise. But these are when. The short duration yield pays more than the long duration yield. Shouldn't happen, So when that happens, call it inverts, basically. The 2 years inverted a 10-year. So the 2 year pays more yield than the 10-year, and that shouldn't happen. So when it does that, when it's gone down below this dotted line here, there's been recessions. The recessions are the red bars, okay? Look at where we're at now. It's never been this inverted. So I don't know what's going on. Is there something there? Is there something smelly under the floorboards we're not aware of? But that's indicating something bad, But I do say, it's a market of stocks, So there's always opportunities and bargains out there all the time. But I just think you have to be very discerning in this market, especially when it starts rolling over a little bit. So, yeah, the inverted yield curve, good point. Well made, Simon. You can't ignore that. It's been a very accurate, indicator. Of recessions, but you could say it's a recession is almost priced in, isn't it? We've had 2 years of a downturn. How much further can it go? There are good companies on single digit PEs, Anne Conboy, actually, I do feel bullish about this year, the UK and US. I feel, yeah, US is, I wouldn't go, I think now it's going to broaden the rally there because the big stocks, they're getting ridiculously, 30 times earnings and all that stuff. It's nuts. That's quite good. That's quite conservative. At some stage, the rest of the world will realize the UK market is extremely cheap. Yes, I believe that. The UK will outperform the other major. I was just thinking that this morning. And sometimes you don't think that can happen, but you've seen the amount of companies being bought up, taken out by private equity. It shows the market in the UK is cheap, And so I wouldn't be too concerned. Who's the guy? He's a very well economist who's predicted quite a few. Jeremy Grantham. And he did say particularly America's, quite expensive. He's not too worried about sort of UK, Europe, but America, he thinks it's a bubble pretty much. Mr. Steve. It's likely to be a year where interest rates drop in major economies. So I'm bullish for stocks as they're likely to benefit from this. Yeah, but I agree with that. But you have to think, why are they bringing interest rates down? inflation's coming down. Why is inflation coming down? Lack of demand. All right. I mean, if it was a supply problem last time, then it must be lack of demand this time. So that means the economy will suffer first before they bring them down. That's what I'm thinking, and that's why I think we'll have some bad, gloomy economic data come out. But maybe inflation will be okay. But I don't know if you saw manufacturing yesterday, the PMI. I didn't realize this, but the PMI data for UK, it's been now contracting for 17 months. That's a long period. And that makes me, you know, a little bit bullish, because it's been contracting that long. Dagger 888, short-term bear, long-term bull. Yes. Maybe the front part of you, the nose going over the line, is the bear. And you turn to a bull. Bull for UK stocks and value stocks, Steve says. Steve, especially small caps. Yeah. I'm a stock picker, so bull or bear irrelevant to my medium-term outlooks. Alan. I agree with you, Alan. I mean, do you know what? It's amazing. If you just look at two metrics, like I said, and add the third one, but if you look at growth and value together, it's hard to find that. Hard to find. In fact, it's not at the moment. There's quite a few companies. But if you can pair up growth and value, and then you also add on top of that, you know, momentum, you've got a winner. Rotated profs from Destiny to top up from C4XD back to a full position, which is crazy cheap when such a great cash runway. Yeah. Economists have predicted 40 of the last 10 recessions. You're right there, Steve. Yeah, economists. That's what I'm saying. Don't think about economists. Just look at the facts. And that's the inverted yield curve has done that. And that's not, you know, that's just figures. Figures are facts. Everything else is opinion. You know, you can get CEOs to tell a good story on the stock, but at the end of the day, figures are facts. And you know, they got some of that. Laconic, very bullish for individual shares, just need FOMO and cash flows to start into funds, and quality small caps will fly. Some are just too cheap. Yeah. Simon, still good opportunities on individual stocks, maintaining 35% plus cash until the inverted yield curve plays out. You know, Simon, you've got to go a bit before that. Honestly, it starts to play out before that. I said, you know, if you go back, look at, honestly, the markets will... The thing is, I did say yesterday, I don't think people understand, there's lots of people have been hammered and burnt in this market over the last 2 years. You know, who hasn't taken a hit in the last 2 years? And, you know, you can forgive people to want to put their money into safe havens. And these are like, you know, high interest rate savings accounts, bonds, you know, government bonds. They're safe. 5-6% you get in there. Why would you turn your nose up at 5-6% when you're losing like 20% in the market, you know? But all of a sudden, once that flips... Once that comes down and you can only get sort of 3% and the markets are starting to rally and you're seeing stocks doing 20-30%, there's the fear of missing out. So money inflow will come back in, chasing rising prices and itself fueling, you know, rising prices attract more money, push the prices up, attracts more money. So it will happen. It will happen, but maybe, I don't know, Q2, Q3 is what I'm thinking. So I want to show you this. I'll read this out to you a little bit here. This is from Vox here. UK company bosses turn gloomier about the economy. The British business leaders have turned more pessimistic about the outlook for the country's economy and are holding back on investment decisions, according to a survey published on Today. The Institute of Directors Confidence Index, which maps the gap between business leaders who are optimistic about the economy and those who are pessimistic, fell to minus 28 in December from minus 21 in November, having gradually risen since June. The IOD called on the Bank of England to start cutting interest rates early in 2024. This, with inflationary pressures abating, business is in dire need of a boost and is to help drive meaningful economic growth in 2024. Barclays, you can read the article here from Reuters. But yes, that's what I'm thinking. See, there'll be more of that pressure, and we are coming into an election year. They'll want to stimulate growth, you know, because they want to say, oh, look, everything's picking up. When is the election? Is it May? Oh, hang on, that may be a catalyst. Anyway, let's look at the front page of Vox here. Bear with me a second, let me just get the front page up, see what's on the front page here. Oh, some nice shoes there from Echo. I got a pair of Echo shoes, actually. East Imperial shares gain on positive New Zealand update. So what are they saying? Victor writing up there, 8.52 million market cap. But they do this, this is a bit of hype here in this company, because they do sort of premium mixers. And people are saying, oh, it's the new Fever-Tree. Whenever you get that, hope high potential. When you get a big, performer in a similar business model, someone else comes out, there's always that hope around it and hype around it. But they're talking about, I know they're in sort of China, in America as well, but they said they're in just sort of 2 5-star luxury hotels. There's no figures in here. The company's pleased to see overall on-trade channel rebound strongly in October, November, with positive momentum in December. The company's margin improvement program implemented half year, started to deliver was it gross margins towards 35%, in line guidance. The chart on this is, it's like many charts, it's come off the low. That's a monthly chart there. Let's go to daily. There we are. So it IPO'd back here, of course, in the bull market, when every company are enticed by the stock market, cheap money. But it has come off the low. You can see here, it's come off, from a low of, 1 pence. It doubled. You can get that, can't you? Really fast double from the low. But how do you pick the bottom? Well, you can't really. It's hard. I mean, I got the moving averages there. I do say sometimes the early indicators breaking the 50-day and breaking previous new highs, but previous new highs, maybe that's a support line there. You can see support on there. But fundamentally, I think they have a way to go. There's a bit of hype around them, but fundamentally, I'm not quite sure the good value as yet, but who knows? Sorry, my head's in the way there. Let's have a look here. So let's look at the front page of Vox, most read. What else is there? That's mine. There we are. Most fallen companies, up 48%. C4X Discovery, one of the most read as well. So you click in that. AstraZeneca, I was into this many years ago, C4XD. I liked what they were doing, as in pre-revenue stuff. Pre-clinical, drugs that hope to pair up with big pharma. So sort of changed it a little bit. It's been, I get put off. But anyway, this is, they got the $11 million triggered preclinical milestone payment to C4XD. So they prove up these sort of preclinical drugs and they partner and they get paid on these milestone payments. This is exclusive worldwide license agreements worth up to $402 million. And Clive Dix, who was, part of the, I've interviewed Clive, but he was part of the vaccine, force. I think he was head of it at one point, wasn't he? Significant preclinical milestone payment marks the progress AstraZeneca has made in driving NRF2 activated program forward. NRF2 is a challenging target, and this achievement provides further validation of our ability to generate differentiated quality molecules in immunoinflammation. We believe our unique approach can deliver transformative oral therapies for patients. Let's look at C4XD, because if you pick this off the bottom, you've done very well, because it was in a downtrend. But, biotech, they can have these big rallies. Look at that. I mean, let's be honest. I think I got out. Was it around about a quid? I think there. I was in here. I actually wrote blogs about it. Then it started going downhill. So I got out. That's the trouble with biotech. It's very risky. But even today, you see, even with today's rise, which is, 40% up, it's still below, almost run about that previous support level, a gap down here. But, at least I got some cash now. Because, of course, pre-revenue companies like that, or, regular revenue, need that kind of cash to develop their programs. That's a good start there for them. What are the most read? Most read here, Long Life is second. It's very interesting what they're doing. I do like what they're doing. Supply at Recapital, I have no idea what this company's doing. It's just, does anyone invest in this company? It's always one of the most read on Vox. And literally, it just seems like they've, inventory monetization, essentially, which is getting a loan, isn't it? So they said this bank has come in, the inventory management transaction with the inventory value to be monetized up to 10 million, up to. It could be anything, couldn't it? If you're into that, let me know why you're into that. I've no idea. Audioboom, they do a year in numbers. I'm not quite sure this is a reach. I'm not quite sure the point of this. It's just really, I mean, decent numbers there, but do they translate to the moment? Of course, they did. Their financial performance did sort of peter out. I mean, the half year last year was quite good, and then they started losing money. Then, of course, you've got the advertising crunch, and they did have that one big signing or the one big podcast that left them, which, you know, makes you worry a little bit if one podcast can do that. Then, but you know, podcasts are growing, but I suppose it's also quite competitive, isn't it? The podcast area, but they are now the fifth biggest publisher in the USA. That's podcast publisher, by the way. During 2023, creators published more than 175,000 episodes through Audioboom. They partnered with 10,000 brands. Our advertising network enabled us to deliver more than $50 million of payments to our creators, rewarding them for their creativity. And it has come off the lows. I'm sure the chairman's thankful because he'd be buying all the way down. And now look at that. You know, if you want to look at sort of trends, then you can see there clearly. Let's just take the 50-day off, so you can see that. But it's now above the 200-day moving average, which is quite nice. And, last time it did that, you can see last time it rose by the 200-day, it was back here, 191 in November 2020, and it went under 10 back. One of the companies I jumped out at, they 10 backed. But it does seem now successfully the low has happened, the bottom's in, so you can say the downtrend has probably ended there, which is good news there. And a nice little rally, look at that, series of higher lows. And you can even see there, if you can draw a line, you know, pretty much, you can see those were previous highs, couldn't get above, broke up here, turn of the day, nice. That's a, you know, decent looking chart there. Before I carry on, let's look Warpaint is a great business, in your opinion. Is there any value investing in its current price? Thanks. Well, I did cover that a while back, didn't I? Saying, you know, cracking. But Warpaint, excellent business. But probably now, you're probably getting too late. For me, I mean, it's personal. I mean, actually, the thing is, you should be looking at companies that are improving all the time. And then, when the technicals stack up, you get in, you know, hopefully. So if you look at Warpaint, like I said, even if you look at the basic 200-day moving average, where is it? Let me share the screen. Look at that. Even if you can turn it in moving average, look, if you stuck with that and broke new highs, then you'd have got in pretty much at 140. Where is it now? 378. You know, I did say, you know, the only thing I'm worried about here, but, you know, when you get momentum in a company, you can keep going and going. The valuations are slightly stretched, you know, but nevertheless, you know, good companies, they're not cheap. But how much are you willing to pay? That's the trouble. So, personally, I think I've missed the boat in this. I wouldn't be jumping in here. Companies, you know, always have a pullback. Always. Not many pullbacks, but look at that. So, had a few pullbacks. But yeah, that's fear of missing out. See, everyone jumps in. The way to, you know, get rid of fear of missing out is just put a tiny bit in. And then you'll think, you realize. I mean, I've done that before. I don't know about you, but literally, almost my new investment is always the one I look at most, regardless of the size of position. You know, it's always the one I keep tabs on. It's like having a new baby, isn't it? Well, in fact, it's not that hard. Cool. But no, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you do like it and you think it's going to go, carry on steaming ahead, start off small, I would. And then if it does pull back, then it's not going to hurt you too much. You know, what else we got here? Chill Brands again. I think in that space, the superior player is Supreme in the vapes side. You know, generally, it's highly regulated space, but they do say they're trying to get ahead of the curve. But Supreme is done, but Supreme are cash generating pretty much, and they are cheap, Supreme, because, you know, of that regulatory worry around vaping. So out of the two, I'd go for Supreme, even though there's been a lot of things. This C4D, Ondo, it's good to hear that, 7.8% deal to accelerate the LeakBot distribution in Denmark. It announces that the new deal with Danish mutual insurance company LB Folketing is to accelerate the distribution of LeakBot systems to their members. In the last 40 months, LB Forecasting successfully deployed its first order of 10,000 devices and have now signed a further order for 7,500 units to be distributed during the first 3 months of the year. I did check out the updated broker note today on those. The growth is very good, but I mean, it's talking about, I think, 6.2 million for next year, but it's still loss-making. That's what the broker's saying. And in 2025, that is, 6.2 million top line, 2025, still loss-making, about 2.5 million loss-making. And then I think it's break-even in 2026, but at about 11.2 million top line, they're forecasting. So, yeah, so you know, I mean, the top line is good, but like I said, you've got to look at cash as well. But let's look at Ondo. It's a cracking run, you know, like I said, and... Like I sometimes worry whenever I'm, you know, in a stock like this, I sometimes worry, you know, because the aggressive rise, you're almost getting as an aggressive pullback, and it's happened here pretty much. And if you look at the figures, you know, look at the rise, I mean, that is what, 400% pretty much. And then it came down, obviously, from, 37 pence to 18 pence. So it's a little worrying. That's why sometimes you shouldn't chase stocks. Because you never know. They can always go a bit further, you know. They can always pull back very quickly. And that's why if I'm up on a company now, I will put stop losses in. Because you know, don't limit your downside, but try and limit your... don't limit your upside, but limit your downside sometimes. You know, if you're on a decent profit, put some stop losses in. If it keeps going, you don't get tripped out. If it comes back a bit... you do get some tripped out. Not, I'm not saying, you know, get out completely, but, you know, it just you take a little profit off the table and it calms the worry down because if it's, you know, heading down to crash, and oh, my word, I've lost all my profit. So you never lose all your profit in that way. But it's up a little bit today, but what's the market cap now of Ondo? Ondo 21. So they what was their last revenue? They raised $1 million there. Notice the results, interim results. So they did revenue 1.2. Say, So it's, you know, not, I wouldn't say cheap, but of course, a lot of momentum behind them, and they're very well followed. Makango, I've no idea what's going on. In fact, I'm going to change the business model a bit. Makango, down 4.8%, but they sort of subsidiary Magneto and Codtech. Is that English? Any of those words there English? Makango, subsidiary I recognise. Magneto and Codtech from Hypromag USA, joint venture and commence process to appoint EPCM provider for the feasibility. There's very few words in that I understand. And in my mind, I don't want to read on. But they've got this technology, HPMS technology developed at University of Birmingham. It's recycling of you know, sort of rare earths and all that stuff, which is going to be quite big, I assume. They're doing this feasibility study there. It's Makango. G-Tech, a bit of a rise. This is up big today, but they did a nice update before Christmas, and they announced a really bearish sort of update, and, you know, kicked the legs from underneath it. They do say they announced 8 new contract wins that represent an aggregate a total of 1.8 million. Contract wins are comprised of subscriptions to the company's globe platform. So they've got recurring revenue. What do they say? Unexpected ordinary revenue for 2023, expected to be 4 million. The balance, there we are. So what's the market cap now? Because they've taken a hammer in. 4.5. Oh, no wonder it's rallying then. So, you know, they're literally one-time sales, you know. So, yeah, look at that. It's been awful. I did hold that and got out. So just getting painful. But, hopefully, like I said, it bounced up there. And they put another up. What was that? They put an update out. They put one update out, which seemed decent. Oh, they did a trading update, yeah. And it started rallying, didn't it, or something? And then literally, they put this trading update out on the 15th of December. And this one seems now to be a bit more bullish, whether they've been told off. So why was it negative? So this one's a bit more bullish. But that's been very painful for people, G-Tech. Any other comments here? UK election likely October, US in November. Is that right? I thought someone was saying it was no secret that it was going to happen, UK election in May. Yes, head of vaccine task force, Clive Dix. C4X have cash until around September 2025 now. That's without other expected milestone payments and sake of non-core assets they are expected for them. The UK rate of food inflation has fallen nicely. This will put pressure on the Bank of England to cut rates. Very good news. Yeah, absolutely. It'll all coming down, especially after Christmas now. You know, you literally, there's a lack of demand. You know, let's be honest, most people have food left over now for the next 3 months. You don't need to go to the supermarket. And that will, you know, crush the demand. We'll pay trading on a forward PER of 20 the last year, and you'll find there's value there. Yeah, no, there may be. I mean, I just think there's, you know, it's a, as I said, listen, I'll reiterate, it's a very good business, and you can't get very good businesses, quality businesses, cheap. You know, you have to pay up for them sometimes. The worry is, you know, sometimes it is the valuation. High valuations are a risk, you know, because if they don't achieve, you know, the earnings that are forecast, they can take a massive hit. That's anything. So that's why if you try and go for, you know, growth and value, there we are. One of the companies you discussed last year was Couth. I was looking at Couth yesterday, actually. And again, it's one of those companies, very high quality, you know, and it's not cheap, you know, as yet, but excellent company. Trading update very soon. Their mental health app in California has recently become operational. Yeah, you know, again, Couth, high quality business. But like I said, you can't buy quality cheap. So it's up to you, you know. Great news on Ondo. Am I right in thinking they will be issuing shares this year? I have no idea if they're issuing shares this year, but I assume going by the broker note, they will have to raise money because it's not showing that they get a break even. That's what the Dow Gate is saying. They get a break even in 2026. So this year's loss making, next year's loss making. So I assume that's the case. Justin, why are prices on CI the last trade price rather than mid price? Makes it too easy to make 10% plus each day. I don't know. We'll have a look at that. I'm conscious that the forward period of 20 might not be considered value, but W7 is growing by double digits. Yes. No, limit physical. I agree with you. I understand you probably hold shares in them, so you're quite subjective on this. It's a cracking business. I'm just saying, every time a company doubles, it gets harder to double. It gets twice as hard to double. Okay. And, you know, like I said, it's just the power of numbers. You can't. It's very hard to double digits when you get a bigger company. The bigger you get, you know. So, like I said, if you keep doubling, it just becomes, you know, less compelling as a value play, you know, because they can't do that. I mean, the share price has performed outstandingly well, and it's a very good business. But I'm just saying, you know, not for me. That's all. Not for me. I missed that. In my mind, I should have gone into that for, you know, a year or two ago, maybe. UK, not May, as Sunak will want to wait for better eco figures to try and get some seats to avoid wipeout. That's going to happen anyway, isn't it? Parties like summer elections. They have it before January 25, so May could be summer elections. Yeah. What I'm saying is, why is election... I'm thinking, you know, the governments will try their best to literally get the economies going before elections start. So I don't know whether they'll put pressure on the Bank of England, which is supposed to be independent. But let's be honest, they're going to try and do everything they can. Sorry, some other bits of news there. What else is there? I did see GTK Interseed Group. Yes. So they've announced the IGT. I'll show you a spreadsheet I've done in this a while back. This is the last set of results, okay? And I'll show you why I, you know. So, Indices Group, they are showing a 63 million market cap, okay? Major new contract win. I do like the sector they're in, the leading specialist in digital identity, credential management, and secure mobility. Secure mobility is pleased to announce the group has been awarded a major license order with associated support and maintenance, totaling approximately 1 million for a new client. Now, for me, it's quite a big jump. 17% rise in a market cap that size is a big jump, isn't it, for a 1 million contract? Anyway, but the annual subscription as well of 200,000. this order combined. The thing is, they're saying now that it can exceed. This is one you want to look for. Companies exceeding expectations usually continue to do well. You know, companies releasing good news tend to release more good news all the time, and conversely, bad news. So don't try and fish for the bottom stocks that are releasing bad news. Look for companies that are exceeding. And they tend to, as long as they're good value, of course. This order combined with expected additional income. Anyway, so this is my spreadsheet on Interseed. The group was 30 September. This is the interim results. Okay, so you can see here a market cap of 62, enterprise value 53, which is decent, means they have cash there. Net asset value 15 pence a share. So obviously they're not based on net assets, but quite illiquid, pretty much. You know, total volume is around 80,000. So if you look at a tenth of that, that's what I normally look for. You know, if your trades are bigger than that, it could affect it. You should sell the share price. But revenue is 6.9. So that's, I'm thinking, what? 12 million, last year. Operating loss of 960,000. No debt, which is always nice to see. Operating cash flow 1.7. Free cash flow, so that's always good to see. They're generating cash. That's nice. Now, the growth here. So I look at, you know, six metrics. Growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, potential. Well, that's six metrics. Now, they're skewed towards growth, value, pretty much. They get more points. There's points over here because that's the most two important things. But, so the growth last year was very good. The half year, 15%, still good, but not as good as last year. But operating profit growth is good, and net profit growth is good, but cash flow went down a little bit. So you want to look now, in conjunction with value, how does that stack up? And you look down, you're going, okay. So price to sales 4.5, 5 there, P of 20, price to book 7.5, EV EBITDA 22. So it's not, you know, this is not cheap now. But the health is good, the efficiency is good, like the margins are good. And it just seems a little bit overvalued because look at the broker forecast. It doesn't seem any potential upside, but the momentum is very good. And if you look at the chart, it's very strong. And like I said, you know, it's just a guide as to what, you know, the spreadsheet's just a guide. Like I said, look at that. It's really strong. It's done really well. Broke the 200-day moving average back here at 56 pence, and now it's doubled. But part of me was thinking, right, unless they can keep powering away top line, you know, the valuation's already a little bit stretched. So I'd be a bit cautious on that. You know, you don't have to go for it. You can go for growth and value. Very rare. Once you find one, it's worth sticking with it. Chris Bell and Tech Up Today. I wonder if this is ahead of some news on a TMT buyout. I hear you, Justin. By double digits, I mean 10% go up, etc. Okay, 10% plus. Cool. Bell. I had a chart alert on Bellascura. Let's have a look at it quickly. Don't know why. Was it 50-day moving average? I normally put. Let's have a look. I normally get a put alerts on 50-day moving. Yeah, there we are. You know, we had a false breakout here before, and it came down. And they raised money, did they? But you see, it's pretty much previous support here. It's hitting, so it's not convincing. And often I want to see that, you know, quick rally, you know, on this former bottom here and steadily move up. What's Tech Capital? Tech Capital! I don't know why I say it like that. It's because I used to work for Capital Radio. Capital! Capital 95.8. So that's a, you know, severe downtrend, that. And it, you know, even if you cut out the downtrend, you don't have to find an uptrend or that, but even if you avoid downtrends, it can help you a little bit sometimes, just in the timing of things, you know. Another one's rallying from mine today. I mentioned yesterday, so whenever you get reports out on, you know, charging data, and everyone's looking at chargers, the actual chargers themselves, who's in charge of the chargers? The chargers are very, you know, capital, you know, sort of heavy, you know, getting chargers out there. Now, when you look at the data on these charges, any survey comes from ZapMap, which is owned by Good Energy. Now, I was worried about this. I had some, I was buying down here in Good Energy, and down here, actually. And then it started a rally. I bought a few more. And then it rallied there, and I had some stop losses trip out here. Still not a whole nice chunk, though, but look at that. you often get that top retest. I expect that it could do another sort of round of consolidate here, but I think that'll break higher eventually, unless they came up with a disastrous trading update, which I don't see. But I mean, momentum is very strong there. But I do like the fact that they're in, as John would say, the picks and shovels. You know, when if you're looking at, and it's going to be huge. You know, I mean, going forward, more people are going to be getting, you know, electric vehicles. People want to know where the chargers are, what kind of chargers are there, are they available? And the data supplied for that is through Zapmap, which you also pay through. They get advertising through. They also collect data through that. And people are now paying for that data. And you can see, it's almost like when you get some the surveys on, businesses in distress, Begbie's trainer, always quoted by the BBC. Now, for EVs, it's always Zapmap. And that is 49% owned by Good Energy. And in fact, the other part of it is owned by a big sort of logistics company in the US. So I assume they'll be going to the US soon. Okay, quickly, stories here that supermarkets busy Christmas boosted by promotions. They can't tell. There's this. The customers made 488 million grocery trips in the 4 weeks to December 24th. 13.7 billion went through the tills as food price inflation fell to 6.7% in December, the fastest drop countryside is ever recorded. That's a big drop. That's the fastest drop. That's good, isn't it, really? British households spend an average of 477 quid. Friday, the 22nd of December, was the most popular day. 25 million trips the stores made. Wow. And this is a little bit worrying because, of course, the first-time buyer there stimulates sort of the housing market a little bit, doesn't it? The chain going up. But first-time buyers fall to the lowest level in a decade. I do think the house builders have rallied enough for now. They've really rallied. And I think, what? It's not bullish yet. You know, interest is not going to fall off a cliff. And so I can't see the housing market go crazy anytime soon. But they've rallied very strongly. Anyway, Yorkshire Building Society said around 290,000 first-time property owners ended the mortgage market in 2023, a decline of more than a fifth on 2022. 2023's total was the lowest since 2013, when 260,000 first-time buyers entered the mortgage market. So it's a little bit of a concern there on that. Because, of course, it stimulates the entire economy, the housing market. Anything else? Mr. Steve, I'll finish on this. Xmas groceries. Just eating my final Brussels here today. May need to open the windows later. In fact, my son finished off Colin the Caterpillar yesterday. Colin the Caterpillar is no longer. He ate the head and the face yesterday with his lunch. But I can imagine my mother-in-law still got plenty of food left. Wow. Maybe till Easter, the last. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Don't forget, hit that thumbs-up button if you could, and subscribe to the channel, share it, and don't forget, download the Vox Markets app. It's free. It delivers your RNSs straight to the front screen of your smartphone. At no charge. That's it. And speak to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.